Good morning. A warm welcome to everyone in the sanctuary this morning and to everyone watching online today or later in the week. I would also like to extend a warm welcome back to the Reverend Bruce McNichol, who will be conducting the service this morning. As always, Bruce, it's a great pleasure to have you with us today. Some intimations for your attention. The minister will be on holiday until Tuesday, 26th of August. Pastoral cover is being provided by the Reverend Attie Van Wyk. The service next Sunday will be conducted by the Reverend Gordon Matthew. Tea, coffee and biscuits will be served in the parish halls today. It's the parish hall's turn for the tea and coffee. Please join us for a further time of fellowship. And also remember that Thelma's jam will be available today. Thelma won't be selling it, but Jeanette's going to do that for us. Thank you, Jeanette. Logie Kirk will be open from 2 to 4 p.m. every Sunday in August. If you can, refreshments, please attend and refreshments are available. Prayer requests can be attached to the prayer tree or placed in the box in the McMichael Chapel. Requests for prayers can also be made online via the link on the church website. And contrary to what it says in the intimation sheet, the next prayer meeting is not next Sunday. It's the following Sunday, which is Sunday the 31st. Articles for the autumn edition of the parishioner should be submitted by the close of today. They can be emailed to parishioner@stninionsold.org.uk or left in the McMichael Chapel. And finally, a reminder that the Bible Society are having a sponsored walk this coming Saturday, 23rd of August, at Stirling University. If you're feeling energetic and you want to take part, full details and sponsor forms are available in the main vestibule. Thank you.
Thank you for your welcome to me, Leslie. It's much appreciated, and it was kind of the minister to invite me to conduct this service while he is on holiday. Let us worship God and let us sing to his glory and praise, hymn 43. Hymn 43, O God, you are my God alone.
Thank you.
It was not to judge the world that God sent his Son into the world, but that through him the world might be saved. He who possesses the Son of God possesses life. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we have come to worship you this day, so we are reassured to know that you have been waiting for us, to listen to us, comfort and reassure us, whatever the state of our lives. Open our hearts to receive your love, for we know and believe it is fully expressed toward us in Jesus Christ our Lord. So may we be at one with you in this time of quietness, prayer, and reflection. And a prayer from 1552. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and done those things which we ought not to have done. Have mercy upon us, O God. Spare those who confess their faults, and restore those that are penitent, according to your promises through Jesus Christ our Lord. So help us, O God, to live a godly, righteous, and upright life, to the glory of your holy name. And now be pleased, O God, to accept our offerings, which we dedicate in the name of Jesus Christ for the work and furtherance of his kingdom. These are prayers, O God, we offer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share a report from a newspaper with you. It comes from the Open Times. The death took place the other day of Mrs. Catherine McCall, Clackandoo Farm, Easedale, near Open. She was born at Port Thornachan, Loch Awside, in 1806, and enjoyed robust health to the last. With her death is broken one of the oldest links with the past. Mrs. McCall had a rich store of curious information of bygone days, of which the present generation is ignorant. The funeral took place from the residence of her son, Duncan, with whom she resided for many years, to McCairn Churchyard, Tynilt. Deceased was in her 101st year, and her faculties were unimpaired until the last. She is survived by three generations and had no less than 44 grandchildren and 36 great-grandchildren. Catherine McCall was my great-great-great-grandmother. When you think about it, I did in fact have 16 great-great-great-grandmothers and of course 16 great-great-great-grandfathers. 32 of that generation altogether. I'm not going to suggest that the other 15 great-great-great-grandmothers had as many grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But what I am going to say is that The first time I spoke here, I said I already had connections with the congregation because I had second cousins who live here in Stirling, here as members of the congregation. I know that. What I don't know is how many other relatives I may have in the congregation, and how many other relatives you may have in the congregation through your great-great-great-grandparents. It goes perhaps to underline, really, that we're all kind of related to one another if we look back far enough. And that is something important in the manner in which we treat one another, look at one another, and respond to each other. There was one occasion when Jesus was preaching to the crowd, and his mother and some of his sisters and brothers were there. And it was said to Jesus, "They're all here, they're all here." And Jesus said, "Yes, I know they're here." But he said, "But when I look out at the crowd, when I look out the multitude, when I see those who have come to me, I see my brothers and my sisters." Well, so much for Catherine McCall and all her grandchildren and all her great-grandchildren. Part of my life. And she's maybe part of your life. If you look back far enough, you may discover that. But it matters each day, and matters especially that we have an awareness of each other as brothers and sisters, same family, family of faith, a household of God. Now we're going to sing hymn 694. Hymn 694, "Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You."
Thank you.
Our lessons are the lessons for this Sunday of the year. The prophet Jeremiah is angry with the people of Israel because they listen to what they want to hear. And Jeremiah says, you know, some of what you hear isn't true. And those who claim to be prophets are in fact liars. In the gospel lesson, Jesus speaks in equally powerful words. He says, in a time of crisis for the disciples, for himself, and for his people, there is a great sense of urgency to believe, to repent, to accept God and his love for them. Our lessons are read to us this morning by Mr. John Conway.
Thank you, Padre. Morning, everyone. Our first reading today is taken from Jeremiah, chapter 23, and I'll be reading verses 23 to 29. If you wish to follow this in the Bible, the English Revised Bible, which is your pew Bible, you'll find it on page 651. Am I a God near at hand only, not a God when far away? Can anyone hide in some secret place and I not see him? Do I not fill heaven and earth? This is the word of the Lord. I have heard what the prophets say, the prophets who speak lies in my name. They cry, I have had a dream. I have had a dream. How much longer will these prophets be minded to prophesy lies and give voice to their own inventions? By these dreams, which they tell one another, they think they will make my people forget my name, just as their fathers forgot my name for the name of Baal. If a prophet has a dream, let him tell his dream. If he has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Chaff and grain are quite distinct, says the Lord. Are not my words like fire? Says the Lord. Are they not like a hammer that shatters rock? Our second reading today comes from Luke chapter 12, and I'll be reading verses 49 to 56. And again, in your pew Bibles, if you wish to follow this, you'll find it on the left side of page 64. I have come to set fire to the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraints I am under until it is over. Do you suppose I came to establish peace on earth? No, indeed, I have come to bring dissension. From now on, a family will be divided, 3 against 2, 2 against 3. Father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the people, when you see clouds gathering in the west, you say at once, it's going to rain, and rain it does. And when the wind is from the south, you say, it will be hot, and it is. What hypocrites you are! You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but you cannot interpret this faithful hour. Thank you, Padre.
Thank you very much. Let us sing hymn 608. Hymn 608, Spirit of Truth and Grace. Thank you. Spirit of truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, "Do you think that I've come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." In May this year, my wife and I were on holiday on a small Greek island, when one morning we were awakened by the wardrobe and its contents shaking. At the time we didn't understand what was happening, but later in the day we were told that there had been an earthquake 150 miles away. A fault line below the earth's surface had caused the tremor. Such fault lines are not uncommon, only their intensity when there is movement. They remind us that the work of creation is not complete. They will not cease. Today we often use the word fault line to describe the nature of the world in which we live and the nations, groups, and societies to which we belong. Fault lines are often obvious rather than hidden, and their impact can be slow-moving or quite dramatic. Sadly, it is easy to choose examples of fault lines because they point out the shortfalls, weaknesses, and complacency in which we seem to live. War, injustice, poverty, greed, hunger, disease, famine, and flood are but a few that come immediately to mind. Unfortunately, such examples are not unique to today. Certainly, some are more prominent today than they were in the past. However, it does appear that when we stand back and look at history, we realize that it's not just a question of history repeating itself. Rather, it is the fact that the fault lines are still there. They haven't gone away. And so when we look at the New Testament, when we listen to the gospel message of Jesus, you and I have to understand that he was addressing individuals and multitudes whose lives were blighted by fault lines. Such fractures in the fabric of their society trapped them. They were a people whose lives in every way were controlled by a foreign army of occupation. Citizenship of the Roman Empire was not theirs by right. Their king was a puppet of the Romans. His concern was not the welfare of his people, but rather ensuring that his position was not undermined by their troublesome behavior. For the Jews had a reputation, a track record, for being difficult to govern and control. This was in part due to their nature as a conquered people, but also due to their faith and assurances from their God that he would deliver them. He would give them freedom. But that freedom wasn't coming soon enough. Men like the prophets of old, and yes, like John the Baptist as well, stirred up the people to keep their dreams and promises alive. And even the preaching of Jesus of Nazareth had its moments when he seemed to suggest that he was come to set his people free. But don't think Jesus said, "I've come to give peace." No, "I've come to bring division." This is challenging stuff. It's not what we normally associate with Jesus. When a friend the other day asked me what I would be preaching on today, I told him that I was preaching from the gospel lesson for this Sunday. He suggested that such was the nature of the text I had chosen, I should choose another lesson. We shouldn't always give a body swerve to those things that make us feel uncomfortable. When I was a student, there was a popular theological book written by a Canadian. Its title was The Comfortable Pew. It was a critical look at the church and Christianity. My friends, the gospel does not make for comfortable reading alone. But then when we look around our society, our world, we should not feel comfortable. There is too much to make us uncomfortable. The fault lines that disfigure our world. The view which dominates the whole of this section of the gospel is that the existing order is coming to an end. It is a time of crisis for the disciples, Jesus, and Israel. There is a tension in the gospel message that finds its expression in Jesus. He will not be silent. He will not leave things as they are. He cannot be silent. He cannot leave things as they are. He cannot say that all is well. If all were well, there would be no need for him or the gospel. But all is not well, and we need Jesus Christ. We need him not because he has addressed the problems of humankind, because we need him because he points us, indeed empowers us, to the resolution of these problems on his terms. Jesus knows only full well that there are many who want things to be as they've always been. He is saying in his life, as in his teaching, that there is another way. But when his own people heard what it was, they resisted him and everything he stood for. The cross was their ultimate response to him, for they wanted to be left as they were. They wanted their dreams and promises to be fulfilled and realized their way. Jesus of Nazareth was not taking them in the right direction, according to those who had most to lose. And they were the ones who had the power. And what was that direction? It was the way of division. It was to disturb the complacency and indifference of men and women, even men and women of faith. It was to tell and show that they had to think out of the box. Peace is not achieved simply because armies stop fighting. Reconciliation is not achieved if retribution is demanded. The hungry are not satisfied with cheap or free food. The poor want more than a hand up. The persecuted want to live in peace. And it is just to be accepted for who or what a person is. Minds and hearts are not won by the demand to submit or accept what they may be told is the norm. Minds and hearts are won when it is acknowledged that change is essential and just, and that it is on its way to those who yearn it most. And until it is realized, it is just more hot air. The way of division, not peace. The gospel cuts across the lives of us all, whoever we are. It asks questions of how we live, what we cherish, what we believe, what we are willing to give and give up, and what our attitudes are to others. And if we take the gospel, which is Jesus Christ, if we take the gospel seriously, then we cannot fudge these issues. You and I do have to have an awareness of the world, our world. Of course, the present world is problematic. Jesus exhorts us to be realistic about it, to live in its reality, with its pain and suffering, and not to shut our eyes when the news comes on our television screens, or close our ears to the pleas for help, and think that we can ignore them or hide away in this pleasant Scottish city from the fractured world, our fractured world. There's no excuse for the disciples of Christ doing and saying nothing. Do you think that I've come to give peace on earth? Jesus asked. Our answer is yes, because we desire peace for ourselves and each other. Is he not called the Prince of Peace? And the love of God, which Jesus embodies, is surely the source, the power of that peace. And that is fine until we reach out and pursue the question, but what is peace? And when we read further and discover that Jesus continued, "No, I tell you, but rather division," because the love of God in Jesus Christ, who is the source of love, is not some tap to be turned on by us as if it were the garden hose. The expression of that love which brings peace lies in those who are convinced, persuaded, won over, and have responded to Jesus' call to discipleship. The acceptance of this call is what divides us from others within and beyond our families and communities. Jesus Christ brings tension into the world, not only because the divine heals and brings us peace, but because he judges us and the fault lines that are our fault and the fractures that we have caused. If we think we are living in an angry world, then that anger has been created by us. And if we think we are living in days of crisis, then we have to answer the question, why? Recognition and diagnosis of the world's problems do not in themselves bring solutions. Of course they don't. Perhaps the church has to stop looking in upon itself and its own problems and look out with the confidence of the faith in God through Jesus Christ, that peace is a goal to be pursued in the hearts of individuals as in the heart of nations. I know inevitably it will bring resistance from those who don't want change. It will bring resistance from those who don't agree, and there are many. It will bring scorn from those who think better. It will be called idealistic by those whose own ideals and ideas are being challenged. But to use a phrase our son often uses, it is what it is. The gospel is what it is. And there's no changing it. And that's how it has to be. Amen. Let us sing hymn 500. Hymn 500, Lord of creation, to you be all praise.
Thank you.
Let us pray and let us thank God. Thanks be to God for this lovely summer's day. It means so much to us, O God, that we are able to enjoy such a day. We relish the days when everything around us is alive, living, vibrant, scent-filled, and good to see. In our admiration for the beauty around us, may we nurture and treasure it, guard and enrich it through our wise and careful stewardship. We ask it in Jesus' name. Hear us, O God, as we bring to you our prayers for others. We pray for the many parts of the world where men and women have become fearful of the changes they are experiencing in the world around them. Fires destroying forests, fields, homes, and jobs. Floods sweeping everything and everybody in their way. Parched farmland where crops will not grow and cattle can no longer graze. Open our eyes, O God, to what is happening and to what we are doing, that we may respond to such changes with urgency before they become the norm. We ask it in Jesus' name. We pray for those nations that are experiencing war, like Ukraine. Today, it's people disappointed by continued conflict and no just resolution in sight. Today, the people in Gaza powerless to effect peace. Today, the peoples of the Sudan overlooked and embroiled in civil war. What a world we are living in, O God. We too are disappointed and feel powerless to bring peace. So strengthen the resolve of our political leaders to bring to pass the peace that the world desires, that we may together create a world that is a better place for all peoples and nations. We ask it in Jesus' name. We pray for our minister, Gary McIntyre, in this time of holiday for him. As he serves you, O God, in his congregation and parish and the wider community and the church, so we pray that he may find these weeks of holiday to be good for him, weeks to rest, renew, and relax, to prepare him for the demands that ministry will make on him when he returns to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. We pray, O God, for those who reach out to you in all kinds of ways. The lonely, who feel alone and forgotten. The sick, who long to get better. The dying, who want to be reassured. The mourning, who struggle with loss. Respond to them, O God, we pray, and give to them your peace. And now thanks be to God for the saints of the church. Our lives are diminished by the loss of those who enriched our lives so much. And for what they have given and entrusted to us, we give you thanks, O God. Help us to look forward to the time when our separation will be no more, and we shall be reunited with them through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us sing hymn 236. Hymn 236, March on My Soul with Strength. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.